Welcome to Ministry Focus with Pastor Chad Nall, where we talk real and we live Jesus. I'm your co-host, Brian Foster, and I know it's been a while since you've heard our voices on the podcast. We took a little winter hiatus for the holidays, and we hope and trust that everyone had a blessed Christmas and a fantastic start to your 2023. But we're ready and raring to get back to work, and we're just glad that you joined us for another edition of the Ministry Focus podcast. And of course, I'm surrounded by our pastors here at Faith Baptist Church. And of course, the main host here is Pastor Chad Dahl. How was your holidays, Pastor?
Oh, blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
It was fantastic. You know, what a wonderful time to celebrate Jesus.
Amen.
You know what it's all about. You know, he gave us a new year as well. So, you know, we can thank him for just one more year, one more day, one more breath. Amen. So just thankful to be here at the podcast with this episode. Looking forward to this tonight and looking forward to being with you guys.
Amen. Of course, we have Pastor Jamie Crisman with us. Hello, Pastor Jamie. Glad to have you on the podcast again in the new year.
Happy New Year, brother. Glad to be back.
Amen. And of course, our rookie of the panel, Pastor Joe Carpenter. Pastor Joe, welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I tell you, I'm very grateful to be here. I'm doing well, and I pray everyone out there is as well.
Amen. Okay, so let's dig into it, why don't we, and get started with our topic of today, which I think is something that is has crossed our minds over the past few days going into the new year of 2023. And our topic today is going to be, it's a new year, now what? Some of you listening have made New Year's resolutions or set goals for 2023, but as Christians, what do we really need to be focused on in the days and the weeks ahead? So let's look at what we believe are the top three issues that we need to focus more on in the coming new year. And the first topic we're going to hit on today is family. I think it's one of the most important issues that we have going on today in the church at large, as far as a church family, but also within the confines of our own home. And if you don't have a strong family, then how can you have a strong church? And I think that just everything starts within the confines of the home. So taking a look at the family aspect, and I'm going to yield to Pastor Chad on this one, making marriages stronger, what ideas or what is based in scripture? I know you gave a wonderful Sunday school class not too long ago about marriage and what the Bible says and what the Lord says that we're supposed to adhere to as far as a biblical marriage. But what's some of the finer points that you can share with our listening audience as far as making marriages stronger?
You know, I think one of the most important priorities for any husband and wife team should be being in unity, being on the same page. I think that we as in a society, as a culture, are drove in different separate ways. I think we're so busy. I think, you know, dad's working, mom's working, home is got its own chores. Kids have homeworks now. They have so many extracurricular activities between dance and sports and, you know, gymnastics and all those type things. And so families are just stretched. And so what I see is the big issue is trying to get mom and dad on the same page, so that they can get their priorities straight and make sure that, you know, that they can get back around the table. I think that's very important. I think just getting around the dinner table, discussing about how the day was, praying together, talking about, things that each one of them had experienced today. I think that we've lost that in our culture today. You know, I really do. I think we've lost it. And I think that's one of the most important things they can do. And I think, you know, something that's been lost is the family altar.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think that praying together as a family is so important. You know, I have a 20-year-old daughter, and she came into our room last night, and we held hands right there in our bedroom, and we prayed together, you know, prayed together for her day, our day, and just making sure that Jesus is front and center. It's important that we get back to the basics. And I think if you want a strong family, you're going to have to do that, because I think Satan, the way Satan's going to tear the church apart, it's not going to be walking in the front door on Sunday morning.
That's right.
You know, he's going to drive divisions between husbands and wives, children and parents. And that's where he's getting his greatest victories at, I believe, because so goes the family, so goes the church. And so, you know, I think getting back, get our priorities straight, get on the same page. I think that's one good way to do that in this upcoming year. If we can get on the same page, get around the dinner table, get back to a family altar, I think we can see a lot of change.
Amen. And Pastor Jamie, I turn it over to you at this point, but you're starting to see a decline in the family units, just like Pastor Chad was talking about just a second ago, the unity aspect. And when you don't have that unity and you have people going in several different directions, it's hard to keep that family unit as a united front, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have to find the common ground, and the cross is the best place to start. Mm-hmm. And just as Pastor Chad said, the family altar, there was a time when that was a common phrase. And sadly, now it has become vernacular for believers only. And even then, I believe that we're in a culture now, where that's not even recognized that much anymore. Just as Pastor Chad said, and as he was mentioning, he and his family, praying, we do the same thing. And my son is just about the same age as his daughter. And obviously they grew up together, and the same thing, the very same thing. He is all over the place. I can't keep up with him. He's got a lot going on between college. He serves here at the church. He stays very, very busy. And praise God that the Lord has allowed him to do that. But at the end of the day, and literally at the end of the day, he's coming back in so that we can gather together and allow God to have that hedge around us. And as he's got that hedge around us, we see how much favor he's poured out over us throughout the entire day and also everything that's going to be facing. And it's easy to point out to him because he's moving in all different directions, because as Pastor Chad said, they're in their early adulthood. My daughter is just learning how to drive. Won't be long before she'll be in a completely opposite direction. Actually, mm-hmm. she is now, and she's kind of in mom's taxi to do that very thing. But soon it'll be her own little get up and go. And once again, you know, I really want to instill to them how important it is to us to put Christ not only first in our family, but first individually. Because if they see that my wife, their mother and I do that, then we've imprinted on them how they can move forward in their own life. And also too, they'll see not only the importance that we placed on Christ in our own family, but also too, we won't always be here. Mm-hmm. That is something that I want to see our grandchildren's children do if the Lord tarries. And build those, not necessarily relationships, but those behaviors, because those behaviors are the lifeblood, as we know. Breaking open the Word of God and going in communication unto Him and petitioning Him for every need that we have in our life and making sure they understand exactly how important that is, how crucial that is, especially in the times that they're going to be facing when we may be already in glory.
Amen. Another aspect, Pastor Joe, about the family unit is developing stronger parenting skills. And the reason I'm going to bring this over to you, because I know right now with the ages of Patty and with Garrett, that can be a challenge. But I think a lot of the parents today, and with different ages of the kids, not just as they're in their younger years, but even as they're getting older into elementary and middle school and all that, they tend to want to give the children more independence, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but mm-hmm. there is a thing called giving them too much too soon, yeah. correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And not to give you any more fuel for your fire over there, Brian. You introduced me as the rookie of the group.
He's getting broken in.
Brother, yeah. That's right. I don't know if I'm new or you're old, but we'll leave that there.
I'm old. I'll go ahead and just get. I'm the old man of the group.
This is between numbers is the same, okay?
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. I'm not far behind him.
That's right. That's true.
You do have more gray than I got.
Yeah, no doubt.
But go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, so I've been married for 10 years now. And you hear the conversations that are being had here at the table, and most of the men here, well, every single one of the men here have kids longer than or older than I've been married, and as a parent, I've got two kids, one's five and one's seven, And there's a song that I love. It's by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And it's called "I Just Want to Be Like Jesus." It's a phenomenal song, and it's a song about the relationship between a father and his sons, right? And his son. And I tell you, it's one of those songs you want to listen to by yourself in the car ride on the way home, because you know you're going to cry.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know,
no doubt.
Yeah, you got to time it right so you get your eyes all dried up before you walk in the door. And but there's a line in the song that says, "Lord, I want to just be like you," because he wants to be just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks powerful so deeply to my heart, because that's my number one goal as a parent is that when my children see me, that they'll get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Because if I don't teach them, who will?
That's right.
Amen. Most certainly not going to come from the world.
No.
That's right.
It's to live a life that would show them the importance of God. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is I can't be the husband that I need to be. I can't be the father that I need to be, or even the man that I need to be, if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The most important thing that I can do for my children is to show them how important that relationship is between me and Christ, because without it, they won't make it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And in today's society, the kids is only going to see Jesus in just a few people, and those first two people should be the mother and the father.
Absolutely.
That they see Jesus in. And well, you know, the Bible says you raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they should not depart from it. And I know I said that incorrectly, but I paraphrased a little bit there. But if we don't, just like Pastor Joe said, if we don't raise them up in the way that they should go at an early age, when they get older, it's going to be even more difficult to rein them back in and to really instill the morals that we grew up with, that Pastor Chad did, and you, Pastor Jamie, and you, Pastor Joe. And one of those things was, and this is going to be the last little bit of the family topic, is kids becoming more personal than technical. I would probably hazard the guess in my childhood, had we had the technological advances that kids are accustomed to today, I don't think I'd been able to sit down for any period of time, because number one, I don't think mom and dad would allow me to have those technical advances. But number two, if I spent more time on that than I did sitting at the table eating with them and communicating with them, then there was going to be some problems and there was going to be some repercussions. But again, that's the way the world is today, and that's how kids are kind of whether it's friendly influences or whether it's educational influences or whatever the case may be, they're headed to that technical. And it's just like now that they just cannot communicate in any other vein other than through texting or through some of the social apps or whatnot.
Yeah, I think they learn how to text in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just telling you, you know, I think that it's interesting, because it's been a while back. I come through our fellowship hall, and there was about five teenagers sitting at a table, and they were sitting together, and all five of them were on their phones. And what was really funny about it is they were actually texting one another while they were sitting at the same table. But I think it speaks to where we're at today in society. And, you know, listen, technology is not a bad thing.
It's not.
Technology is a great thing, but is it harnessed? Is it harnessed for good? You know, I think that, you know, had I had a cell phone that had the capabilities in when I was a teenager, would I have been doing what they are? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, because that's what everybody else is doing. And so, you know, luckily, praise the Lord, I didn't have that. I actually got outside and built forts and rode skateboards and bicycles and played with friends. And, you know, we had a great time. And, you know, I still have friends today that I had in the neighborhood when I was growing up, because we were outside playing together. You know, how do we get them to be more personal? Well, I really think that, you know, it goes back to our first topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parents, I think that I don't think you take away cell phones. I don't think that's the answer, because they're going to figure out how to get on somebody's device to check their social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you do is, I think that you make it open and you have conversations about what's going on social media. You say, hey, you know, hey, let's talk about, hey, tell me something cool that happened today that you've seen that happened on social media today. Let's talk about this thing. Let's harness it to a point that we can make it a positive thing and not make it a thing to where, oh, no, this is my phone. You can't see it. You can't look at it. You can't know what's going on, because we as parents sometimes make him feel that way. I think that we've got to get to a point to where it's a little more open. I think that you give a teenager an inch, they're going to take a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it's human nature to want to mine, you know. I think that we've got to get to a point to where we're again, if we get to the table,
mm-hmm.
we get to the altar.
That's right.
We get, mm-hmm. you know what? It's the four W's of life. Right. It's the four W's.
Mm-hmm.
The word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The walk.
Yep. Right.
The work. And the wait. Worship.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
The wait. No, the wait.
Wait.
Worship comes with the word. The wait. We're waiting on Jesus. What are we doing while we're waiting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully we're working. And while we're working, hopefully we're walking out what we're learning from the word, right? And so all those things are important. And so, you know, we don't make social media an enemy. Can't do that, because all it's going to do is push them to it,
mm-hmm.
right? So what we want to do is we want to draw that out and make it a, let's talk about this thing. Let's be open. Communicate with me. Tell me what's going on in your friend's life. What do you think about that? How can you help them? Hey, have you prayed for them? Listen, I'm not going to run and tell their parents, but hey, let me give you some guidance on how you need to instruct them and help them, mm-hmm. right? I think it's a different aspect, but I think it's something that can work if parents get all in with it.
Right. You look at texting a lot of the time, and I'll use you.
That's the old man stuff now, man.
Well, you know, and I guess I'm dinosaur at this
Joe,
point.
Joe, you say talking, right?
Yeah. But I'll use us as an example, because I know there's been a couple of times where you and I have gotten into discussions via text,
yeah.
and I finally just pick up the phone and call you and say, brother, I'm
that's
tired
too
of
much
texting,
text, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to call.
Brother Joe doesn't say
that. Yeah, that's right.
But another aspect to that, though, is even though it's a good, useful tool to have, especially if we need to send something out immediate and we need to send it to multiple people, a lot of the times, in my opinion, it can be impersonal. I can text you, Pastor Joe, and say, how you doing? And you can look at it from several different ways and say, what do you mean by that? You know, just by looking at text. But now if I'm looking to you face to face, say, hey, brother, how you doing? Then you know the attitude I have,
right.
and the way I'm presenting it to
it's
you.
It's all about the semantics.
Right. Exactly. So, just like the pastor said, there's pros and cons to it, but I think a lot of why we're experiencing the problems we are today is because we've become so impersonal.
Yeah.
We've lost that connection to fellow human beings just to have a normal conversation with one another.
Kids mm-hmm. especially cannot hold a conversation.
No, they can't.
They just can't do it.
Mm-mm.
They can't do it.
Well, if we back this whole thing up, and don't get me wrong, I understand the temptation of parents who want to sit their children in front of a screen. We go to Walmart, we do our grocery shopping, we go to Sam's Club, and all over the place, you'll see these young kids sitting in the cart, and they have an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iPad that was given to them so that they no longer become a distraction.
Right,
right.
Babysitter.
I get it. Listen, I got kids. I got things that I got to do after I get home from work, by folding laundry, helping with dishes, cleaning. I understand the temptation, but what are we teaching the kids in that?
Right.
Are they getting anything beneficial from the screen time that they are having, like Pastor Chad was saying? And in that is there's no communication afterwards about what it is that we saw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're getting away from the family altar. And we're actually pushing them into the devil's playground with no oversight on the things that they are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is every second or every day that we don't talk about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what he's done in our life is one more inch closer that our children are getting to Satan or
That's
Satan
right.
getting
Amen.
To
Amen.
Him. Because this is how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is a technology that's used during our time. It's no longer the newspaper or the radio. It's now the devices that we have. And I don't need to tell you how influential these things are in a child's life.
Sure.
If you think about it, how often do we come to church? Mm-hmm. We here at our church, we do church three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3 hours a week.
Right.
3 hours out of the week.
Right.
What mm-hmm. about all the other time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't bring your kids to church for 1 hour on a Sunday morning and expect that to get the job done. We've
right.
got to get back to the family altar. We've got to have the conversations about the screen time. We've got to develop a stronger bond with Jesus Christ so we can be the parents that we need to be, because brother, an hour isn't going to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. You said something very interesting whenever, Brother Brian was talking to you about the stronger parenting skills. You said, where are they going to learn if they don't see it from me? And here is the answer. There's teachers everywhere.
Oh yeah,
they're just teaching the wrong thing.
That's right.
You know, and as you said, the oversight is the key. It's not taking away. It's not demonizing technology. It's incorporating it into something that can be used godly.
Amen. Amen.
I think Casting Crown had a song. And the title of the song was Slow Fade.
Slow Fade, yep. Mm.
Little Eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Know, be careful, little feet. Eyes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. be careful. Be careful. In other words, what you look at, they're going to look at. Where you walk to, they're going to walk to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so I think that's it's imperative today is to lead by example. I think that's very important. One other point of emphasis I wanted to bring about is because the question was actually, how do we take them from technology to get them more personal? How do we do that? Right. That was really the question.
Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. We talked about everything but that kind of, right?
Right.
And so, you know, when you really think about, well, how do you do that? And I think that, Pastor Joe said it, we're great. We got them. Church has got them 3 hours a week. The school system's got them 40 hours a week. Mom and dad possibly don't even have them 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so how do we alter what they're being taught at school? Because now it's like, oh, here's your ebook. You do all, you know,
right.
Here's how you communicate with the teacher now. So they're being taught those things. So the way I believe, one way we get them to start communicating is put them in situations to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you know, I think like, you know, like in our youth department, right? Our student ministry, you know, they don't put their phones away. They don't make them set their phones down, but you know what? They make them interact in a way where they have to communicate. And those type situations are best. And I think if parents will do that. And again, I think it goes back to that family altar. It goes back to the family table, right? You know, hey, if I'm looking at you in your face and there's not a cell phone at the table, when I ask you a question, you're going to answer it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. And that's going to teach those children how to have a conversation with adults. Right now, there's many kids in our church, I can ask them a question and their head's looking at the floor and they answer it real quick and they're running off,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they don't want to have a conversation. And so that's a sad thing. But I think we need to put them in situations to communicate in order to get them back to a personal way of communicating.
Amen. And of course, that's a work in progress, and not every family is that way, but.
Yeah, pretty much.
A majority are, but there are the faithful ones that have adhered to a biblical stance
and
made sure of it. And so that leads us into the second phase of the second issue we'd like to address that we feel like it's important to focus on in the coming new year. And that's the topic of faith. And one of the things I wanted to kick off with, Pastor Jamie, is, you know, with our faith, and let me preface this before I bring up the subtopic on this, and that is, there are countries right now that suffer worse persecution within the church than we have here in America. But during COVID and in the time that has passed since that, we have seen the glimpses of what the persecution of the Church of America could be. And it, according to the Bible, it's only going to increase. It's not going to decrease. And so we really have to be solid in our faith and in our walk, because with this increase in persecution, we have to be stronger, we have to be bolder, and we have to stand stronger than we've ever had before.
Absolutely. the current indicators right now in our country, let's zero it down closer to where we are, because we were just talking about it as brothers around the table a second ago. Ultimately, there's not been a huge increase in persecution from December 31st to January 1st of 2023. That being said, we know that the indicators are there. Mm-hmm. We know we've read the book. We know what's coming. We can see prophecy being fulfilled in other parts of the world. We can't afford it right now to have our head in the sand about what's going on culturally, what's going on socially. Just as Pastor Chad said, this is not a situation where we're trying to remove our children and our families from this world. Obviously, we want to shield them, but that comes from the Lord. We have to, mm-hmm. they are still have to be in the world, not of the world. And that all starts with us as the men of the house, the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the home. And so how does that grow towards the church, as a whole? Well, obviously stronger families equals stronger faith. Families up. We have a motto or philosophy here. The families of faith are the families of faith. And what I mean by that is the stronger they are individually, the stronger the church will be. And that's going to be needed because the indicators are there that the persecution is coming. Mm-hmm. It's not significant right this moment, but we're encouraged by the word of God to be prepared.
Right.
Not necessarily, that we see. We don't have to know exactly how all these things are going to come to fruition. We just know that they are. And as we begin to see a drawing away, I know that's going to be something that we were discussing, going to be discussing here in just a second, decrease in church involvement, decrease in passion, quite honestly. This is not to take us by surprise. If we know the word of God, then we know how to prepare that. We know how to guard our heart for that. We know how to guard our family's hearts for that and prepare for that and to strengthen the body of believers that we are.
Amen. And I saw Pastor Chad grab his Bible, so I know he's got something on his heart to deal with that, but I'll get to him in just a moment. But Pastor Joe, just like Pastor Jamie just said, another issue we need to be aware of is the decrease in church involvement. You gave an excellent sermon not too long ago that kind of you're trying to fire up the base, so to speak, the way I looked at it, about becoming more involved and not sitting back in the pew and just checking off the box every Sunday. Okay, well, I came, I've done my duty, and just not get any more involved within the ministries of the church. But also because of the technology, like we talked about just a few minutes ago, it's becoming easier since COVID for folks to sit back and stay in their pajamas and drink their coffee and turn on the iPad or the computer or the television and watch a live stream of a church service instead of actually coming in to be involved within a church service.
Yeah, so if you don't mind, I want to back up for just a half a second and kind of continue on the thought of persecution, because I think it's a perfect segue into the decrease in church involvement, because I don't want to attach COVID-19 here in America to the persecution of Christians, because they're not one and the same, right?
Right.
But it is definitely a contributing factor to the decrease in church involvement. So talking about persecution, if we look at the world from a 30,000-foot view, the 2022 World Watch List was actually just released through opendoors.org. And so here are some quick numbers. So 1 in 5 Christians are being persecuted in Africa right now, 2 in 5 in Asia, and worldwide, 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted worldwide. Mm. And looking at this as it continues to build, and we'll see what this means for America. According to opendoors.org, Christians persecution has reached the highest level since the World Watch List begun nearly 30 years ago. And so what that means is from the year 2014 to current date, Christian persecution has been up 20%. Mm. So what does that look like in the next 10 years, in the next 20 years? And that bleeding over into a decrease in church involvement. You looked at COVID-19 and actually Pastor Chad, you just did a podcast back in November of 2021 talking about, the post-pandemic church attendance. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's where you talked about it. And you were talking about the great exodus, mm-hmm. referring to pastors, leaving the ministry, stepping away from their duties and responsibilities to the congregation and moving away from the pulpit. And I believe that all this is interconnected. Now, I think we can all probably agree that this not only is the great exodus, not only is referring to pastors leaving their congregation or the pulpit, but it's talking about the congregation as well. Mm-hmm. We see that our numbers, what they were 2-3 years ago and what they are now, are not the same. And I think we can look at this one or two ways. One, we can say that our congregation isn't as big as it used to be. And we could sit here and we can moan about that. And granted, we want more people to fall under the preaching of the word. But we can look at it the other way as well. And we can say, well, I know that who's in our congregation is loyal. I know who's going to stick it out. I know who's going to be here. And I think that these things come and go, and God adds to the church and God takes away from the church. And I think the congregation that we have now within all the churches of America is pretty healthy, mm-hmm. because they're the ones that withstood the COVID-19. They're the ones that are withstanding the social persecution that we're seeing happening right now. They're the ones that are loyal to not to their church, but to God. And they're standing by that. So I think that God can do a little bit with a lot.
Amen.
He says all he needs is a faith of a mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
and you just stand by and you watch him work.
Amen.
Yeah, I think COVID-19 was it was a great separator. Mm. I think I'm not going to use the analogy of goats and sheep, because I'm not saying the folks that left church were not saved. I'm sure many of them were. I'm sure, but I think it was a lot of wolves and sheep being separated. As well, I think those with some toxic traits showed up. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I think there was a lot of separation there. And I think that, the online platform is a good platform, but that platform's meant to reach the lost. That platform will never replace assembling together.
Right.
But I think it kind of draws down. I pulled out the Bible because there's some scripture, I think, that kind of speaks to where we're at a little bit. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Mm-hmm. It goes on, Paul goes on to write that the night is far spent. In other words, hey, listen, we're way into this thing, right? Mm-hmm. "The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." Here it is. "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And I think that what we've done with church involvement is we as the church, we got so seeker friendly at one point that we said, "Oh, if you don't like it, we'll change it. Oh, you don't like that? Okay, we'll change that. Oh, really? Oh, man, I hate to hear you. You're dissatisfied with that. We'll change that. And we'll change that." And we become so seeker friendly that we forgot why we're doing what we're doing and who we're doing it for. And, I believe a healthy standard needs to be in place in all churches. And I believe if you don't have a standard, then I think wantonness takes place, chambering takes place, envyings and strife takes place. And I think that churches that have a standard, what I have seen, is gaining people back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think those that are still in the seeker friendly movement that says we'll change it if that's what you want. I think that's who has really, really, really been hurt. I mean, I was seeing some statistics this week in an article I was reading, and those churches that were huge churches, mega churches that were definitely on the progressive end of things, they're running like 40% of where they were pre-COVID. I mean, in churches that were smaller, that probably had a little more stringent standards based on the word of God, they're running back at 80% of where they were. And so that's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so where did those people go? Did they find a church with standards? Or did they say, you know what, this really didn't mean a lot to me. because, hey, I didn't see any change in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, are we creating disciples that are 3 miles wide and an inch deep? I don't know. And so I think that the church has done a disservice to its members by saying, it's okay, we'll change it. And therefore, now we've created this condition within our members of the churches to say, well, you know what? I don't like the way Sunday school's going. I'm just not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way this does over here. So I'm just not going to do anything anymore. You know, I'm not going to pay my tithes. I'll just come. I'll show up. You know, and so this attitude of dissatisfaction has become a cancer within the church. And so what's happened is it used to be 20% of the people did 80%. Mm-hmm. Now it's 10% does 100%. And so it's gotten even worse. And so what's happening is the folks that are serving and working, not because they want a name for themselves, but really because they really want to serve the Lord, they're getting more out.
That's right.
Yeah. They're getting more out. They're getting tired. And so when it comes to the extra stuff, it's like, man, I can't do it. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a lot. I think that attributes a lot to what's going on.
Amen. And I can, that just basically encapsulate everything that we need to be focused on. But the remedy to that is very simple. You pray more, you read more, you get together more, and you strengthen each other up, and you support one another, Pastor Jamie.
Absolutely. Iron sharpeneth iron. We say it a lot, and it's the truth. And we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus and the body of believers. And the body's not strong whenever the members are missing. And so sometimes, just as Pastor Chad said, not to overpower the COVID talk, but it was a conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were looking for an excuse, they got it. And thankfully, though, I truly have seen also, too, even in our church as well, that just as Pastor Joe said, the Lord adds to and takes away as he sees fit. And he's adding to from outside the church, which at the end of the day is something that we're missionally minded for anyway, is to not just be the, as I've heard a beloved pastor of mine say, not to be the keeper of the aquarium, but the fisher of men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're supposed to be. And so, yes, absolutely. The meeting house, and I said that in a sermon one night. The meeting house is where the body is coming together. And as the Lord is continuing to increase the body, yes, we're praying more. We're drawing closer together. We're moving together. We're growing together. That can't be overstated, the growing together and not a core group. And I think every church has that. We're not immune mm-hmm. to it, you know, but at the same time, if we stand on the word, we stand on the promises. God is faithful to his promises.
Amen.
And we will see that increase. I truly believe that.
Finally, let's take a look, gentlemen, at what I think is going to be the third major issue that we need to pay attention to in this coming year, and that is current events. And Pastor John, I'm going to start with you on this one because there's really three big main focuses within current events, and I want to take a look at the Ukraine-Russian war that's going on right now, and the issue to look at as far as the war progresses, how much more each side is willing to escalate, and how that affects not only Russia or Ukraine, but also all of Europe, and then filtering over here into America, and what that means moving forward as far as what the expectations or the possibilities are that this war can become even bigger than just what is settling now in the Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, so we're what, 11 months into the war now?
Yeah, approximately.
A lot has happened in that 11 months. If you look at statistics of small wars fought throughout the last 20 years, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan separate from that, but the average length of a war is 15 months, depending on and like I said, with a couple exceptions. But you look at the logistical abilities, right? It takes a big war machine to fuel war. food, ammunition, fuel, it all goes into it. So I'm not a strategist, so I wouldn't be so bold to say that we're coming to the end of the Ukraine war, but I pray we are. I do. And as far as limitations on both sides of the fence between Ukraine and Russia, I think the only limitation as far as Russia's concerned is nuclear warfare. Because of the second and third order effects. And I won't give my opinion on that, but I think there's greater consequences that will come from the world as a whole than what they're willing to withstand. So I think everything is on the table with the exception of nuclear warfare. There's something actually really interesting happening in Ukraine right now, and we were just having this conversation before because the president of Ukraine has tried to pass this new law, or I believe maybe actually has, of taking over the churches in Ukraine, that the state will now occupy the churches and possess the actual private property of the churches. If you look and you follow up with the current events, actually Russia tried to do a ceasefire over Christmas. And Ukraine actually backed out of that, and they said, "No, we don't have time for that. We're not going to do that." And looking at it, I would say that they probably had planned on, and I don't know if they have yet or not, but I believe they were planning to. But they probably planned in early December that they were going to go in and what we would call persecution. They're going to go in and they're going to take over these churches because when Russia extended the ceasefire, they said, "Thank you, but no, thank you." Because by doing so, they would be legitimizing the church. And they're exactly opposite of what they're trying to do. They're trying to delegitimize that and take control over it.
Right. And that was some of the looking at this particular topic and just what you said, with the persecution of the church now in Ukraine and what the administration there in Ukraine is trying to do. Also with the threat of nuclear war, if the war does not end anytime soon, then the chances of it escalating and widening become even more prevalent. And I say all that to say, with the prophetic timeline and what we're seeing, I believe we're at the end of the end of days. And you can just see the Bible fulfill itself every time you turn on a television and you see what's going on in the world. And one of the hot spots in the world right now, Pastor Chad, is Israel and in the Middle East. Of course, Israel just had an election. Benjamin Netanyahu has become the prime minister once again in Israel. He's starting to enact some more stringent laws there in Israel right now. But if you want to know how close we are to the rapture, you just keep your eyes on the Middle East and what's happening in Israel, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Netanyahu is much more conservative than the previous prime minister. So, you know, he's really focused on getting things back to a more conservative standard. But, you know, the big thing there is the one thing we got to be watching for is the one world religion. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that. I think that's one thing to be watching. I think we're definitely in the end days. I think that if you're not watching Israel, then you don't know much about prophecy. You realize that the end of days is about Israel.
Right.
It's not about us. It's about Israel. And so you need to be watching those things because there's some things that need to take place. I think that what we're seeing taking place in the world right now is just, it's almost like chess. You know, it's one strategic move after another, and all this taking place is God just lining things up for the trumpet. And so, you know, that's what I'm listening for. I watch Israel, but I'm listening for the trumpet because I'm waiting for those clouds to part, and I'm waiting for the church to be raptured. And it could be any day now. It really could be. I think that, you know, we're told that there's wars and rumors of wars. That's just, we're just seeing the beginnings of what's to be.
I believe so.
Yeah. I think that it's just going to be, you know, one after the next. China's still got some grumbling going on. North Korea's got grumbling going on. We're seeing a lot of power. We're seeing a lot of power shifts taking place. And so, you know, that's all a part of lining things up to fulfill Bible prophecy. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not a bit scared about it.
Right.
I'm actually excited about it because I know that, you know what, the time is coming close. And so, you know, I think with Ukraine, I think that, again, Pastor Joe brought it up, the draft 988 that President Zelensky's putting in place is really it's a condition to say, hey, listen, the church really don't have power. And I think the more we see that, the more we're going to become conditioned to it. And I mean, come on, we almost seen that here during COVID in America. Mm-hmm. We definitely seen it in Canada, you know. And so, you know, it'd be a little more difficult here, no doubt. But it's interesting to see what's going to take place.
Well, not only do we need to be paying attention to what's happening around us, but we need to be paying attention to what's happening here in our own nation with the domestic policy. And Pastor Jamie, I'll turn this over to you. We were talking about this a little bit before we started the podcast today, and we've got a new Republican Congress, and they've already started to enact some things right now. But as Christians, we rejoiced when the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade. But it turned it over to the states, and now many states are making their own decisions about the abortion issues. We could probably stay on forever to talk about that. But not only is abortion and what's going to happen in 2023 going to be a hot button topic, but also the law that was just recently passed before the Republican Congress came on was Respect for Marriage Act. Mm. And the loopholes and the holes that are within that could really cause a mess, even though there has been an amendment, and that's what Pastor Chad was talking about before we came on, is that they have passed an amendment, or they're looking at an amendment right now to that.
It's passed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's already passed, but still, as a minister of the gospel, when you have this Respect for Marriage Act, that can put a lot of pressure on fellow pastors as to, what do I need to do, not in order to go to jail, but to uphold God's word? You know, where do you stand?
Paul and Silas sang in the prison, sang praises unto the Lord. So I'm going to serve him. And I know that the men surrounding this table are going to do the very same thing. At the end of the day, that's the ultimate law that we're looking at, is the law of God and pleasing him. Not being men pleasers. You talk about the amendment, and Pastor Chad, and when we were having a conversation offline just a second ago, he said something that resonated with me. We have to treat it as though that amendment is not there. Mm. How to go ahead and start preparing in what that may actually look like, how that may affect the church as a whole, as well as, you know, more locally. When I say locally, I mean our particular church, those types of things. We can't be surprised by it. And because we can't assume that the amendment is going to always be there. The protection is not going to be there. We'll have the sovereign hand of God's protection, and I have no doubt about that. No matter what, come what may, from whatever laws, whatever we talked a lot about laws. We talked about persecution. Persecution comes in the form of laws sometimes. The laws of the land can sometimes be persecution, and quite honestly, more than likely, that is what the church will face to begin with. Will be the persecution and the limitations placed on it between the laws of the land, and it'll come in as a smokescreen, and much like the Respect for Marriage Act. Now we were talking about it, the wording, the specific wording, how it all of a sudden went from a particular type of marriage that was being observed. Now, again, attaching different language on there for interracial marriage and things of that nature. That was never at any question.
Right.
And so now that has been snuck in, for lack of a better word, to just tack on another couple of colors to the rainbow flag. Mm-hmm. And if it was okay then to accept that, which nobody had. I won't say nobody, but it had been more culturally acceptable for interracial marriage. Then all of a sudden the door opens up for what should be culturally and socially acceptable as a whole moving forward. This doesn't change who we are as men of God.
Amen.
We're bound by the covers of the book. That's it. Mm-hmm. Pastor Chad.
So as we jump into the, you threw in the interracial marriage. I believe the reason that they made a point out of the interracial marriage, listen, I could care less what color you are. You're one of God's children,
amen,
right?
Amen.
Yeah.
But I believe the reason they attach the interracial marriage to the homosexual marriage is to say, look, if that's okay, this is okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Well, God's word doesn't address colors.
Right.
Right.
Right. It just don't. Right. But it does address same-sex marriage.
Right. It does. Right? Yeah.
The Bible says very clearly that a man should not lay with a man. Mm-hmm. And therefore, this Respect for Marriage Act is basically a federal mandate to say that this is accepted, written into law, that it's okay for two people of the same sex to be married, to have the same benefits as regular married couples and all those things, right? And so before the addendum came in on this, if as a man of God, as a pastor, if I had someone come to me of the same sex and want to be married in our church, if I was to say no, that's against what I believe, then I could be personally sued for that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the addendum was to say, hey, listen, you can still practice your faith. If that's against what your faith is, then we're not going to hold you personally liable. We're not going to hold your church liable, but you're just a bigot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what you are. And so, you know, so the church is supposed to be this and the church is supposed to be that. But obviously, you know, it's not an inclusive club. It's an exclusive club. You know, and so that's the way the language is written. But it's interesting how they threw interracial marriage in with same sex marriage. Because listen, hey, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're a man and woman, hey, praise God.
Amen.
Right? But that's, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, two men and two women shouldn't be married.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That goes against what the word of God says.
That's right.
And we got to stand there.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, I believe that the vocabulary used and the way this law is being used in here in America, I believe it's setting the church up for failure.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
I don't think this is done by happenstance. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Respect for Marriage Act and what was happening before and what is happening after, it's the same.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Nothing has changed. Right. Let's make that perfectly clear. So what's happening right now is they're saying you can't be a racist. I agree with that. Everyone agrees with that, right? Yep. But you can't be a bigot. And within that, right, if you were to say that a man is an abomination, then that is hate speech.
That's right. Right.
So what's being said now is everyone in America, how dare you judge someone for being a homosexual? And if you say that you won't serve them or you won't partake and even celebrate with them, then that is hate speech and we won't stand for it.
That's right.
Unless you're the church.
Right.
Yeah, we'll let you get away with it.
So right. what they're setting the stage is they're identifying all this as hate speech, and everyone is now in one accord saying that we agree this is hate speech, and it's wrong unless you're the church. Mm-hmm. So what happens next, and this goes back into persecution, what I believe that actually looks like here in America is what this looks like is when this addendum is actually done away with, right? They're going to take away that hall pass from the church, if you will, with we can no longer, what they call hate speech, preach God's word, and the Bible itself will be labeled as hate speech.
Yes, yeah,
and when the persecution comes here in America, you see other places it's a slow boil, if you will. It simmers, and then you have steam, and then eventually we get there. Here in America, I believe when the persecution comes, I believe it'll be like the Hoover Dam bursting open. Because once they remove that, and they remove our so-called hall pass, if you will, and it personally attack us and write it into law that says that they can, I believe the persecution will come hard and will come fast and will come heavy, and there will be many men that fold and there will be many men that go to jail.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. And then who's going to preach?
Right.
That's right.
If you lock them up,
That's right. Hey, bro, hey, you know what? Amen. All those that are locked up in jail, they'll get saved. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I guess it boils down to this, folks. You need to pay attention to these particular issues. If we're going to sustain until the Lord comes and gets us home, just pay attention to what's going on and get into your word. Dig deeper. Pray more. Assemble more with one another. Iron sharpeneth iron, like we said earlier in the podcast. And hey, look, keep looking up because our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Having said that, we want to thank each and every one of you for giving us a few minutes of your time today. We pray that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's broadcast. Please join us next week for more Ministry Focus with Chad Nall. Until then, may the Lord bless you abundantly. So long for now.